Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Going to be focusing on gold's continued breakout, now over 2200 at all-time daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly highs, as well as silver, what we're waiting for in silver and what we can look out for in that commitment of traders report coming tomorrow. I'm chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Craig, first things first, gold continuing to power higher. Even on the spot market, gold is over 2200. Futures market also just rolled over to the June contract. That's at 2240, in around there as we're recording this. It's been a continued move higher for gold. Give us a bit of history here, Craig, in terms of when the last time gold was at daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly highs.
Well, yeah, what a fun day to talk, Corey. We call that a superfecta, right? Hit all four on the same day. It's hard to do, right? Because only four times a year do you get a chance for a new quarterly high. And it's been nice to make some here as of late. It's important, those long-term charts. We can all get excited and trade off the daily charts or even the hourly charts. But the big money, the institutional money, hedge funds, the private accounts, all that kind of stuff, they're looking at the long-term charts, you know, and seeing the long-term breakouts on the monthly or quarterly chart, because it's much more significant to get that kind of action, you know, kind of pick up on the general, you know, kind of secular, if you want to call it, bull trend. You and I have discussed since last year, gold finally breaking out of that range between, you know, call it 1,700 and 2,000, and once it would, that generally when, you know, you'd add maybe 10% to your old, above your old all-time high is in a rush of enthusiasm and speculator funds and headlines and everything else. And I think that's where we're headed now. We've long discussed 2,300 as your first stopping point. And it certainly looks like we're headed there. In terms of history, like I said, you don't get these superfectas very often. The only other time I can recall was on the last day of the year, New Year's Eve of 2010. We'd had a pretty good year, 2010, and gold finished up that day. I'm going to look and see if I've got the old post pulled up. I don't know, 1,400 or so? 1,420 is where the February 11 front month gold contract closed. Well, of course, everybody remembers, you know, that long-term enthusiasm kicked in 2011, besides, you know, other fundamental factors. And what did we go to 1920? So what's that? $500 is 30-some-odd percent, 35% the last time we had a superfecta? I'd take 35%. I know I'd take half that from here in the short term, Corey. So it's a fun day, and it's important to see gold close the way it did.
Oh, it absolutely is. But going back to 2010, too, gold had been on the rise outside of that 2008 correction that saw everything. Gold's been rising now since kind of late 2022 as well. And with this breakout, yeah, it does bring in higher highs and a continued breakout, which is just nice to see. Craig, how do you balance out this whole concept of Eastern demand continuing to support and drive price, but now the notion that the Western demand is starting to pick up with some inflows into GLD, with some just higher volume that we have seen? It's still relatively low volume, but slightly higher volume that we have seen in some of the stocks, in some of more what the Western investing public would look at.
You know, what comes to mind when you mention that, Corey, is the old Rick Rule saying about, you know, higher prices are the cure for higher prices, you know, that sort of thing. Or maybe it's the other way around, you know, that sometimes higher prices will help to squelch demand. You know, as people pull back, we've one thing where we've really seen that, even Reuters was finally writing it about today, you know, high prices in India for gold tend to shift their demand towards silver, and India is importing a tremendous amount of silver. I mean, record amounts. I can't remember what the number was for February, but it was extraordinary. But in this case, it presents a bit of a conundrum for, again, the when we say bullion banks, they're the ones that primarily the operation is in London. That's where the physical market is for the precious metals. And, you know, and they trade and hedge and everything else in New York, but for the West, the physical market's in London, and that's where the bit of the jam is, because you know, you can do studies of what the LBMA has in their vaults, the vast majority of it is Bank of England gold. So, and then they got ETF gold. So as gold, physical gold demand continues, it eventually does have a pretty solid impact on price. And in the West, you know, we're a little different from our fellow human beings in the East. They see low prices and they get excited. Where in the West, you know, everybody wants to chase the next hot thing and the high prices drive excitement. And so that's where I think people are finally kind of waking up and getting excited about owning some gold. And that just kind of fuels that tight physical situation and exacerbates the problem for those banks trying to deliver metal.
Well, Craig, just to that point that Western investors get excited about higher prices, I'm curious the balance between the technical side of the market and the fundamental side. On a technical basis, nobody can deny it's a breakout on the daily, weekly, monthly, and even today, the quarterly. But that's got a lot of people that follow, including the algos, that follow breakouts and prices, and that brings in the momentum traders. But then there's the fundamental side of all of the central bank activity, the geopolitical side of things. Which do you think is driving gold now? Is it both? And do you think there's enough of either the technical side or the fundamental side to keep driving it higher?
Well, I think it's both, Shad. We've discussed here, heck, I just had to put something on Twitter again yesterday, you know, this disconnect from the long-term correlation between real interest rates and the price of gold. I mean, that is a 95% correlation that goes back decades, but a disconnect occurred beginning in early 2022. There's still all these kind of generalist analysts out there that I see on Twitter saying, I don't understand what's going on here. You know, at the level of real interest rates, gold should be $1,200, not $2,200. And for me, it's always been easy. It's because what happened in 2022 was record central bank gold demand, the highest that we'd seen since 1968. And then 2023 was an even higher number. And we're continuing that pace this year. And so those same bullion banks that I mentioned earlier, I think they know that if price were to actually fall toward 1200, as that correlation would have indicated, there wouldn't be any gold left. And so that would present a rather interesting set of issues for them. And so prices remained elevated, and now, you know, here it is charging higher again. It won't go straight up. That's what's so important for people to understand. And I think a good example is what's going on in silver. Maybe we should talk about that. And everybody, you know, be a lot of hype as we go through the weekend and into the first week of the new quarter and new month and the jobs report next Friday and everything else. And you're going to see people on Twitter saying, okay, next stop for gold's 3,000. No, that's not the way. As long as we trade derivatives to price this stuff, that ain't the way it's going to work. Bull markets and the precious metals are two steps forward and one step back. You could say silver's in the one step back category right now. The target, the first kind of resting point now on many levels, my own target, you could say Fibonacci extensions of this move, all that kind of stuff, is right around 2,300. And we'll probably go up there, and then that'll be a place where if you're trading, you might want to let things come in again a little bit. And then market will kind of reset. And should the conditions continue, it'll keep moving higher. But this idea that it's going to go straight up is something that people should brush aside and not, you know, take too seriously.
Well, I think they can hope that it'll go straight up too. And it has gone in through a pretty good move. But yeah, natural bull markets, right? They do have natural corrections within them. What about silver, though? Because silver has knocked its head on that 26 range a number of times here, and that's been pretty stiff resistance. If it can get just up to 26.50, that'll be a 52-week high, which is significant. But broadly, again, silver's traded in a pretty flat range for not just a year, but a couple years now. What are you watching for in silver? We talk a lot about the COT reports for silver. Any changes there or broadly market-wise for silver?
Well, again, for everybody's got to remember, the futures tail wags the spot dog, particularly in silver. And when the futures market is kind of based off supply-demand, just like anything else. And so when there is demand for the futures contract, as we saw, you know, from the end of February through the middle of this month, you get this big rally. But that can only take you so far because it's such a tiny market, overlooked and unloved. There are just not that many participants. There's not that many hedge funds. There's not that many family accounts. There's not that many institutions that are interested in owning silver yet at this point. Again, remember too, We've been waiting for this breakout in gold, and everybody sees it now. You know, when we blasted through back on, what was it, Friday, March the 1st, we had that huge rally that closed gold up just below 2,100. And everybody saw the breakout. And what happened next? You got a $100 rally the next week as everybody crowded in. Well, silver hasn't had that breakout yet. I mean, silver's got to get above 28. You know, anybody can pull up a weekly chart and see this. When silver gets above 28, it will get that same rush of excitement and new love that gold is seeing. And it'll go to, the chart would suggest 34, 35, 36, probably pretty easily. But first, it's got to get above 28. But then, as you said, Corey, it's got to get above 26 before it can ever get above 28. And that has been a level going all the way back 2 years ago when the Russians invaded Ukraine and all commodities shot forward. Silver has been up to 26 six times. And if you track the commitment of trades report like I do, almost, well, actually, every single time of the six, including this most recent one 2 weeks ago, all of those occasions have seen the hedge funds get to about 30 or 40,000 contracts net long, the swap dealing bank get to about 25 or 30,000 contracts net short, price gets to 26, and then falls back. This is the sixth time it's happened. If you look really closely, sorry, again, haven't had the breakout of new money. Okay, so open interest isn't, you know, is up, but it's not, you know, at record levels or anything like that. From February the 26th, Tuesday, February the 26th, to Tuesday, March the 19th, which is the most recent COT survey we had, the hedge funds that trade COMEX silver went from 4,000 contracts net short to 37,000 contracts net long. Okay, maybe the most you'll ever see them is 80 or 90,000 contracts at the most we've ever seen. Anyway, that's a 41,000 contracts of net buying, okay? And for that, we got $2.41, right up to 26. So, you know, we even look today, we're like, yeah, it's banging around 25. It should be higher, gold-silver ratio, this, that, and the other thing. It's going to pull back, or it has kind of pulled back, kind of washing out. Let's see what the COT report shows tomorrow. We should get one. It's not a government holiday. And then eventually you'll get another rush of speculative money that will finally hopefully break 26 and then go to 28. And we'll go through this process again. And it's a long answer, but it is very important in something like silver that you understand the supply-demand dynamics of that derivative, that futures contract, so that you don't end up, you know, getting frustrated and, you know, and say, why isn't silver going higher? Well, it will. It's just not in a position to do it just yet.
Well, Craig, and that brings us over into the mining stock, because as we've mentioned ad nauseum, there is such a tight correlation between GDX and silver, and GDX really hasn't lifted off yet, just like silver hasn't. It's been stuck in a range. Now, it has done a little better recently, and gold's price action is dragging some gold miners up, especially the biggest gold mining stocks. Some of them are blasting out. But in general, if you look at the whole swath of gold and silver companies, they're still rather muted considering all the excitement in gold itself. Do you think that when silver does break 26 and 28, that's what we need to see the mining stocks really get their animal spirits back?
Yes. We get above 28 and go to 35. The GDX will probably go back to 50 plus, which is a heck of a move from here. All right. That's what, 60%? And that's exactly what we'll see. I'll break it down even further. You know, the part of that jump in silver over the previous 3 weeks was related to copper surging forward. And I've seen some very interesting things even today about copper smelters taking, you know, going offline and reducing the supply of copper and that kind of thing. If we get the dollar to roll over, get copper to stay above $4 a pound, maybe start moving toward 450. I mean, this is where we live in that algo dominated world. Higher copper price moving up by 10% will drag silver higher. You'll get some of the same, you know, algo spilling over and buying silver. And then that higher silver price will then set off algos to buy the mining shares as well. Again, that correlation, I just post another chart today. I encourage anybody, it's on my Twitter account, at TF Metals. I had a 15-year correlation between silver price and the GDX is. It's like that old correlation that we spoke of earlier between real rates and gold. I mean, it's 95%, if not greater. So the good news is, let's put it this way. We all recognize the value in the mining sector, especially with gold at 2,200. But with the shares being tied to silver and silver not having broken out yet, that means the train hasn't yet left the station. So we can all look at this and go, gold going to 2,300, maybe pulling back and going to 25 and go, wow, the margins and the cash flow and everything else in the gold miners. If you think that's going to happen, if you're eventually silver is going to come with, that means there's still time to be building yourself positions in majors, and juniors, and some explorers.
Oh, absolutely. Something we've been saying, too. If you believe in this run and this break higher, these stocks haven't moved enough for you to say they've already gotten out of hand. Now, of course, there could be pullbacks there, better opportunities to enter these stocks. But look, some of these stocks, some of these juniors haven't even really moved outside of that bump they got at the beginning of this month. And then they even started to drift back. So look, Craig, if this all does play out and we keep on getting that move higher in gold and silver starts to get dragged along and that brings the gold stocks, we now have central bank meetings largely behind us because of how busy the last few weeks were. What are some of the catalysts? What are some of the news events that you're looking for over the next couple weeks to maybe a month that could further support this move into precious metals and more money coming into the sector?
Well, I'll just give you one thing to keep an eye on, and that's the U.S. labor market. I was listening to Jerry Powell last Wednesday in his press conference, and he stated, he said it, anybody can go back and read the actual transcript, that he's watching the unemployment rate. And if it starts to move up, it's what, 3.9 now, it starts moving through 4, he will cut rates, even if that means suspending or stopping the fight against inflation temporarily, said something along those lines. Then he reiterated that in an article with Bloomberg over the weekend, past weekend. Again, I encourage anybody to go look this up to see exactly what he said. So that means next Friday, whatever that is, April the, what is it, the 5th, is the next jobs report in the U.S. You might want to watch that one. If the BLS is taking a lot of heat for constantly overstating the headline number and then having to revise it lower. Let's see what the jobs report is next Friday. And then as we go through April, watch the JOLTS survey, the job openings and quits. Anything related to the labor market, now that Powell's on the record twice telling you that a weak labor market could bring a rate cut, anything that gives you a hint of a weakening or continuing to weaken labor market is going to be bullish for gold. So that would be what everybody should watch in April.
All right, Craig, always great chatting with you. Even more fun to chat with you when we do have the market that we talk about on a weekly basis continuing to break out and everybody looking at those stocks, I think seeing an opportunity, but we have seen slight increase in volume. Just need a bit more follow through on a wide range of those stocks. Craig, thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a great long weekend.
Thanks, boys. You too.